Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from TO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 21st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing well, Taryn. I have a feeling this might be a sad one today, but ultimately for me, it's all about the fact that we're getting the feeds, we're getting the show. I'm going to remind myself that's my theme this season, and that's all I'm going to keep saying. So I'm just happy to get to talk about it today.
Yes. Look, enjoy what you have.
Exactly.
What the last, you know, what, 5 months should have taught us at this point is to enjoy what you have. So we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 16 in the house and we got an eviction. We got a new HOH. We've got new targets. And we're going to talk about it all. So, start of the day, Nicole, Anthony, and David were on the block heading for eviction. Kacer made a last minute push, one more try to try and get these votes flipped to keep Nicole. And it didn't work. He went to Memphis. He was like, Memphis, I need you to promise Nicole that if it goes to a tie, that you'll vote to keep her. And Memphis was like, why? So she needs to know so she can guarantee for other people and then we'll get the votes. Memphis was like, you don't have the votes, man. And he's like, I do have the votes. And he's like, you don't have the votes. I guarantee it. You're just screwing yourself over. Later tonight, when you're in trouble, we're going to have a conversation and I'm going to say, I told you so, because you don't have the votes, Kacer. But look, if it'll make you happy, I'll talk to Nicole and I'll tell her I'll break the tie in her favor.
Bless his heart. Like, homeboy is trying. He's trying to do. I loved his, like, Braveheart speech he did the other day. He's continuing to try and make something happen. Obviously, this is kind of going to fall into deaf ears. You talked to Bobby yesterday and Bobby was like, give me the odds. Give me the odds of Nicole staying. You're like, no, it's just not going to happen. You didn't even give a number.
Yeah.
You knew. We knew. Like, all of this whole day, all we're seeing is, I'm like, this ain't going to work. I like that you're trying. You have no other choice but to try. It's not even going to hurt you any more than you're already hurt. Just do what you got to do. But it was kind of sad watching it. Obviously, it's not going to do anything for anybody. And yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned this on Twitter that I feel like Kacer is the big brother Sisyphus, that he keeps trying to push that rock up the hill, just to watch it fall back down. But you know what? He is Camus Sisyphus because he accepts the absurdity of it and he goes back down that hill with a smile on his face because he loves Big Brother. So that's the attitude that we need to take, as we watch the day play out. So Memphis does let Nicole know, okay, look, Kacer wanted me to tell you I'll break the tie if it gets there. She's like, I'm sorry. I know. And then they talk to Christmas, and Christmas is like, he goes to Christmas and he's like, hey, we got Memphis. And Christmas is like, okay. And then she talks to Nicole and she's like, Nicole, this is too much. This is the foundation is shaky. And she just kind of like, unleashes on Nicole about like the frustration with Janelle and Kacer. Nicole goes and cries to Danny. And that was pretty much the day, before the eviction.
Yeah. And the last, you know, the whole Danny Nicole scene was sad to see. Nicole was pretty much like, just, I don't even want to go into sequester. I just want to go directly home. I want to see my family. It's disheartening. It's a tough position for Nicole to be in. It's a tough position for anybody that's not in that main core to be in. And we'll get into this later on, talking about what the core people are talking about and how they perceive the house guests that are on the outside and how they talk about it. Spoiler alert, I'm not happy about some of it. But I'm going to leave it to that. Let's just go into the vote and say goodbye to Nicole.
All right. Well, we go to the eviction episode, of course. It is a 10-2 vote with Enzo casting a funny little hinky vote for Nicole to stay, with Kevin also voting that way. Now, prior to the eviction, Kacer and Janelle had talked about just voting for Nicole anyway, just in case. They do not end up doing that. I'm not entirely sure why. I assume that they were told, don't bother.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where writing's on the wall, might as well not. I know that they're not really of that mentality, but I think it just ultimately came to, it's an empty gesture. It'll mean nothing. Like, let's just vote with the side anyways. And it honestly ended up being fine. I mean, Enzo was the one other person alongside Kevin that did vote that way. But it didn't make sense for them to do so. So I imagine they were like, she knows we like her. It's fine. She doesn't need our vote. So.
Also, like, Julie making it seem like the Memphis Alliance is the alliance that's running the house. Yeah. Telling, because here's the thing, after Enzo was like blasted by Keisha when Keisha left, like, I can't believe Enzo. Enzo gets away so clean in the immediate aftermath here Nicole comes out and Julie says, yeah, Enzo was the other vote for you. And this is the alliance that was working against you, that's running the house, that Enzo is not a part of. Like, oh man, I guess Enzo was on my side and I could have picked him up. No, Julie, why are you covering for Enzo?
It's a weird misrepresentation. It was a weird group that they put up there. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it, Taryn. I just did not understand any of it.
Yeah. I get that they're only showing the Memphis Alliance, even though, let's be clear, in case you've forgotten, the Memphis Alliance, he calls it the committee, is all of those people minus Memphis. They don't consider him to be in the alliance. So it's barely an alliance, but they're using it as like the alliance of the house, where like years from now people will be talking about Memphis's alliance running the house for the first few weeks because they only watch the show, and it'll be like oh man. So I did talk to Nicole before the update. I didn't want to just have it be a download session, right? Like only telling her information. But I did. I tried to let her know that, like, did you suspect Day and Bay were also working with? So that should be fun. If you want to check that out, I'm sure that'll be up at some point today. But we are going to get into the day after the episode, because we see the HOH competition and Puya. So close.
This close. This close.
This reminds me of Big Brother 20, when it was so close in, I think it was the double eviction, where like, or one of the evictions, where like Brett was so close to winning and taking his shot. And then he didn't, and then it was over.
Yeah, it kind of has that same feel to me as well, where it's like, it was very close, and we were so close to not getting the obvious result, the obvious week, and sure enough, things don't go our way. And, you know, Big Brother Twitter, if we may conversate for a second, And we need to stop making change.org. I just think I need to say, I need to be the one to say this to you. We need to stop putting out petitions for everything that happens. Like, I mean, I was as sad as everybody else, but come on. Yeah.
Puya, though, did you see that he pressed the button before the thing?
That's the beauty of it. So he did. He did press the thing before the thing. But then also, if you look at it and you do the math, the important thing is the math. Do your pluses. It's a 3. He still has the majority number. He still has 12. If it's a 4, he has more than that. So are you giving him more? Do you want to give him more? It's not a thing. I mean, so here's my one frustration. It has nothing to do with Tyler, even, Taryn. It's that once you know that, hey, he has 12, why are you not taking your time with every shot? Let it take a minute. Line him up.
Well, you only had 30 seconds.
Oh, did you only have to? But still, like, they still had half the time left then. They, like, because they both buzzed in about 15 seconds in. They would have had 15 seconds.
I mean, I think Janelle had the right call there. I think that she screwed up the last one because she was too worried about the button. But she was right to be worried about the button, because had she tied, which she almost did, she would have been faster. So, you know, it's close, close.
Close, close, but no cigar.
No cigar. No cigar for you. And you know, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of talk about, like, last night on the recap, like, the game is broken. This is broken, but, like, we were, like, inches away from the game being cracked wide open here. Like, we got unlucky is, I think, the main thing that happened. And the problem is that now we've done, like, the two crapshooty competitions, and it's going to go back to physical. That's the sort of historical thing, where, like, the first HOH is physical. We get two chances of crapshooty stuff, questions and crapshoot. And then it goes back to, like, Tyler, Cody, Christmas are going to win everything. And then we'll get, like, another crapshoot somewhere in the middle. Like, that's the problem, that we need to give ourselves more opportunities for the spread to go all over the place and not concentrate it in the comp winners. That's the problem, in my opinion.
100%, because you are right. We're going to probably get an endurance comp in one of these next two HOHs. That is kind of spoken for. The group that has formed literally has all the physical specimens in it for the most part. Yes, there's a chance that someone else could win, because some of the outsiders are not, like, non-physical by any means. But the format, the game is low-key getting to that place of broken, especially if there's, like, a just run the gambit with the same people this season and that trend continues. There really needs to be a reshuffling of the deck. Big Brother Canada had to do it because our homeboy broke it. Yours has been broken for a couple of years, and you need to really consider fixing it.
Yeah, because here's the problem, that they've been doing the same competitions a lot, and when they finally started to change them, they made them more winnable, more predictable. So it is easy for Cody and Tyler and whoever to put together a group of people that are well-rounded, that can win all the kinds of competitions that they know they're going to face. And their biggest threat is, okay, there's going to be a crapshoot. That's where we might screw up. Oh, wow, we just barely scraped by it. Now we're solid. And, like, that shouldn't be how it is. They should change the competitions up and make things more difficult, because, look, I don't think that an HOH would have saved Janelle or Kaser. I don't. But it would have broken this game wide open. Could you imagine the amount of mess if Tyler is campaigning against Cody? If Cody is up against Enzo, where does Tyler, Christmas, and David fall? Because they're the swing votes between Tyler and Cody and Enzo. What happens if Tyler's against Enzo? What happens if Danny is up against Cody? Like, there are so many different things that would blow this whole alliance open if just one person not in that group won an HOH. That's what makes Big Brother so good. It's what makes Big Brother work, is that the people not in power can win an HOH and break the whole structure open by having power. And it's hard to do that when there aren't enough of these kinds of competitions, and we came so close.
So close. And I think we're in that place right now in the side of the timeline where should something like that have happened this week, it's early enough, but it's also getting to like there's more of a game going on now that it really would have opened things up. I know that part of me was thinking about it yesterday, not so much since we've seen some stuff, that people deciding which one to take out could also do that in a way, in an indirect way of like trying to break it open because people have stronger opinions of who they want out. But ultimately this maybe next week, there's still a hope, but if we get to one or two more weeks, it's pretty much going to stay solid until the group itself decides to turn on one another and their hand isn't forced earlier. Yeah. The earlier it breaks up, the more likely there is for stuff to go sideways for everybody.
Yes. And again, though, remember, like, be grateful. Be grateful for what we have. Oh, yeah. And if it like it doesn't need to stress you out. It's just a game. We're just having fun. It's just, you know, things don't go your way sometimes. That's what makes the victories all the sweeter. So,
yeah.
All right. Tyler is our new HOH. And we get the feeds back very briefly. And then they go down again. People are like, aha! We knew it! Tyler is being disqualified. There's something about Tyler that makes people want to disqualify his HOHs. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I don't know if people think that there's always an asterisk next to his name for him, whatever the case may be. But it was a funny couple of hours seeing people convinced that, hey, they're redoing it. They're recalculating. This is over. This is not over. But it was over.
Yeah. Feeds come back. Janelle is talking about how she just had some kind of blow up with Nicole. Just Nicole. Nicole Franzel is just Nicole now. It's going to get so hard to get used to. I'm not talking about Nicole Anthony anymore. I'm talking about Nicole.
Like saying Franzel had gotten used to that was fine, but I'm just more happy now that the confessionals, the diary rooms are no longer going to have Nicole A, Nicole F. I'm okay with that being retired.
I'm just happy that I'm not going to have to listen to another conversation of, so I was talking to Nicole. Which Nicole? The, you know, short one.
The one with the glasses.
Nicole A. I was talking to Nicole A. And then we were talking about this and then Nicole, which one? Nicole F? No, Nicole A. No more. Done. I believe that it had to do with the have-nots, that Nicole was planning on choosing Janelle for the have-not, and they had some sort of altercation. It was later described as like that wasn't really even that bad, so don't get your hopes up, guys. But Janelle is still kind of like hyped up from it. Yeah. And Day asks her, like, what is the beef there? And Janelle finally explains, like, okay, so it started with The Amazing Race. That's what my problem with her is, that she backstabbed my friend, Rachel, on The Amazing Race. She says that that it was Day was like, what happened? What went down? And Janelle was like, I can't, hold on. It was something to do with, and I can't really remember it either. We need a Survivor like Poker Alliance flashback.
Yeah.
Of The Amazing Race to get the backstory here, because I don't want to have to go back and watch that episode.
No, me neither. It's a slam dunk, right? It's just show on your own network. You're free promoting yourself, and it's going to be coming around and taking over that Survivor slot in the fall anyway. It's good, you know, crossover, good. You're going to bring the backstory in for us. That's good. And we finally get to understand, you know, what is the root of this beef? Because it has been something that has been spoken about for a minute. And ultimately, it boils down to there was a U-turn at hand and Nicole ratted out the plan to somebody else to get Rachel, have the U-turn used on her, even though the Big Brother people had like an understanding, an alliance of we're not going to go after each other. And again, don't take it as gospel, because I also do not remember accurately, but I believe that's what it was. Ultimately, it's a case of she broke my trust. That's what it is.
Well, she broke my friend's trust.
My friend's trust. Yes.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. It was interesting watching the fan base sort of like cope with this information, because they were so convinced that Nicole was lying about Janelle being upset about that. It is what it is. Janelle says, don't trust her in this house. I know what she is or what she does. I couldn't tell. She also says, Nicole, she's the biggest wimp in this house. I will destroy her.
Listen, I don't advocate for going after each other and being aggressive towards one another and roasting one another. I feel like this is the civil war I've been waiting. I'm very okay with saying that. I want to know what the exchange was, because, and I can't stress this enough, a lot of this start of the feeds after the blackout for 2 hours stems 100% from that have-not kerfuffle. And until I see exactly what was said, I can't really figure out what went on. But what I do know is that Nicole piped up to Janelle. Janelle was like, no, 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 no. You do not do that to Janelle. And now Janelle's ready to go in on Nicole any chance she gets from here on out. So she said it. She said it to Kevin a bunch. She's mentioned she better not be in the same rooms as me, because it's going to go down. So
this is a Janelle. I feel like we haven't seen this Janelle since six.
Yeah. I think the bye-bye bees is going to come through. I really do. That's where we're at now.
Just don't let her near any alcohol. She'll black out and start calling. Start calling Nicole lots of things.
More so than what is being said now, even.
Yeah. So Ian is going to talk with Danny, Cody, and Nicole. Yesterday, I talked about how they were trying to solidify a group of four, and they are going to, in fact, solidify it. Last night, they did that. Ian, and this is just history keeps repeating itself with these players. As we know, Danny, Cody, and Nicole are already in an existing alliance with Enzo, the core four. Yes. Also with like 15 other people, but whatever. And Ian comes in, he's like, let's solidify this. And they're like, yeah, we gotta name it. Ian, why don't you name it for us? And I was like, flashbacks, like this is Dan, Brittany, Shane, Danielle, just after they got finished talking with Boogie and Frank about the Silent Six, and Ian comes in and he's like, hey, let's solidify this. And they're like, all right, Ian, name it for us. And he goes, how about this? Quack Pack. This time he goes, got it, been thinking about this. Prime four. Four prime.
Four,
four prime. Prime four makes more sense to me, even though it still doesn't make sense. But no, it's four prime.
Yeah, it's four prime. It's really funny how even a similar situation happening immediately took me back to me being 20. Like it shaved 8 years off my life in a span of like 5 minutes. It was insane. I don't understand this name, really. I'm not a fan. if we had to chart the alliance name so far, there's been some like meh ones. This is just a questionable one to me. And I like that Ian's additional factoid to this was, and if we want to bring in a fifth person, it's five prime, or six person, six prime. Like, just let's just tack some numbers on it and just keep calling it prime.
Yeah, he's like, we can make it five prime, or we can make it six prime, which is like, we can make it make sense, or we can make it not make sense again. Look, I'm sure it makes sense. Like, we're the dumb ones. We don't understand what he's referring to. But in the meantime, it doesn't make sense to me.
He'll explain it to us in the diary room, I'm sure, of like what the root of this name is and why it is four prime.
He keeps talking about like the Joker's sequence. He was like, the Joker sequence this week is that Memphis wins safety suite, saves one of Janelle or Kaser, and then one of them wins the veto. And they were like, what is the Joker's, what is that? He's like, oh, it's a gambling term. It just means like worst case scenario. I love you.
I like the name the Joker sequence for an alliance. For whatever reason, I feel like that would be a fun name to be a part of.
Yeah. So this is the alliance for Prime. And he says that, hey, we should solidify something with Tyler. We should make it five prime with Tyler. But again, they're going to push back pretty hard. We don't want to make it seem like we're just going to the HOH. Like, oh, now you're HOH. We're going to pull you in. And he's like, I mean, you get along with him already, right? Like, it's not like that would be weird. And I feel like it's pretty natural to go to the HOH and include the HOH on the alliance that you're making. But they were still like, nah. So they pushed back pretty hard on that. The anti-Joker sequence, that was it. That was it. Something like that, yeah. Or maybe not sequence at all. I don't know. I couldn't remember. It was late.
Yeah, it was late. I mean, you had been sitting there with bated breath for 2-3 hours, and then we finally got feeds. And then it was a little slow to start. So, yeah, I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to hold you on that. It's fine. We're fine.
So he also is going to unload a ton of information on Janelle. He says that, she's been saying your name like this whole time, Cody, that you and Tyler are running this game, like all of this stuff. Does she think that you're working with her? And he's like, she thinks that I like am willing to work with her. Basically, anytime she talks, I'm just like, like nod my head. But like, I don't want to get her stink on me. That's bad news. She's not good at the game, and I don't want her to take me down with her.
Yeah. And I did see a lot of people angry at seeing this exchange go down last night. Ultimately, gang, here's the reality of the situation. Janelle right now is the easy one to rib on, to roast, to talk smack about, because no one's going to hold it against you. It's a bonding agent at this point. Talking smack about Janelle solidifies you with other people. He has to do it. He really has to. There's no other choice for him right now. He could feel amazing with her. He has to do it for his game. So as much as it hurt to hear the stuff that was being said, and I'm sure some of it he really feels about strongly, but he has to behave this way. He has to talk about her this way to solidify some things for himself. Whether they're real or not, whether they're going to work for him or not, he has to do what he can to separate himself from Janelle, who's obviously one of the prime targets this week.
Well, and also, I mean, I think he did believe when Nicole Anthony told him that Janelle and Kaser were laughing about, you know, tricking Ian away from Nicole Franzel. He seemed to believe that at the time. He was like, Janie, what are you doing? Cause like, what incentive does Nicole Anthony have to lie about her allies that are trying to keep her in the game? Right. So I think he believed that. And I think that he genuinely is like a little bit upset with Janelle. And I think that he also wants Janelle to go home and definitely wants Kaser to stay, that we know that has always been his motive. So he's doing that, but this is going to backfire a little bit for Ian, because Cody, even in the moment, is like, you waited to tell me just now? It's been days. And he was like, oh no, actually she told me like weeks ago. And he's like, you waited weeks to tell me this? And then after Ian left, they were like, okay, first of all, what does four prime mean? I have no idea. And then second, they were like, can you believe he waited to tell me that stuff about Janelle until now? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that is obviously sketchy when you only get the information when it's the most convenient time, when there's an HOH that just came through and you're trying to solidify something. Obviously, that's not a good look. I do 100% subscribe to what you've talked about these last couple updates, where I think Ian believes he can have Kacer. If Janelle leaves, first claim to Kacer is Ian. And I think that's a good place for him to be. I think that's someone he wants to have in the game for his own benefit. So I do think that the more and more he tries to ham up the Janelle thing, the more and more it's also trying to push the Janelle agenda so that the Kacer agenda is left unopened.
Yes. So we'll see. The line of the day is, we get Janelle and or Kacer out, we're not leaving the other one to slide by. We are then going to get the other one out. We are not going to leave Australia in risk to just sit there because they're not a threat anymore. We're going to finish them off.
Yeah. And Cody, Cody is the loudest person about this as well. Mm-hmm. Cause I think we've talked about how Cody has wanted to target Kacer from early on, more so than Janelle even. And I think he's very much seeing the writing on the wall of, like, most people are going to edge for Janelle, so I need to make sure that Kacer is the next one. Again, this whole thing of these two being talked about every time is because most people are not looking at them as numbers anymore because they feel solid. They look at them as, this is my 2-week safety pass. So long as we get these two out, that's 2 weeks that I'm just safe. So it's convenient for me.
Mm-hmm. So Janelle is going to talk with Kevin and they hash out their differences, or at least they try to, because they're in a position where it's like it doesn't make any sense to not at least a little bit work together, especially if one of Janelle or Kacer are going home. Then Kevin might as well pick up the other person. I mean, he'll probably end up on the block next to them and that won't be great. But like, what else does he have at this point to at least make some kind of a relationship with them just in case? There's no reason for them to be against each other. And they try to have a conversation. Kevin asks Janelle, look, I heard that in the first week that you were campaigning against me. And Janelle is kind of like, nah, not really. Like, he was like, I heard there was a big push last minute. And Janelle was like, nah, we were just like told that the votes might still be up in the air like by day. So it was like, it was just a weird thing. I wasn't really pushing though. And he's like, okay. I also heard that like I was called like a floater and not valuable in the game and that I was a liar. I heard that you said those things. And Janelle's like, what? No. No, never. Why would I say those things? Definitely not. And you can literally see the disbelief like on Kevin. Like he does not believe her, nor should he. She's lying through her teeth.
Yeah. First, this conversation should have happened last week. I don't even think it would have had the repairing that it would have needed last week, but it should have happened far sooner than right now. And B, Kevin just isn't buying any of it. Kevin is probably the main person you want to point a finger at of making Nicole A think Janelle's not with her. So I think that this was a conversation that in the moment I'm watching, oh, this is good, this is happening. But the more you sit and watch there, it's like he's not going to take any of this at all.
Yeah. And but she does try to tell him like the truth after this, which is that Memphis is a wild card. But you can again see the disbelief on his face because it started with the lie that he knows isn't true to the truth that he suspects isn't true. And I don't think he really believes it. So she says, look, Memphis honestly doesn't believe that there's an alliance. He's not as sophisticated as you think, Kevin. He does not know what he's doing. He made a really dumb decision that screwed my game, screwed his game, and screwed Nicole's game. And Nicole is a casualty of this dumb decision. And Kevin is just like, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Look, Janelle, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. I know you're lying to me, basically, is what he's saying. I don't care. The only thing that we need each other moving forward. That's the only, that's what matters. I'm glad we're clearing this up, even though I don't believe you, but we'll pretend that it's cleared up, even though you're not telling me the truth. Janelle also talks about, she's like he's Cody, he's running this house. He came to me on night one. He was like, hey, I want to work with you. And I was like, no way. Why would I work with you, Cody? I'm not going to be on the bottom of an 8-person thing. That's not how I roll. And Kevin's like, well, at least you were asked to be in an alliance.
Yeah, at least you were given the invite. Like, I didn't even get the invite. And I think most of us can speak on that. You always want to be asked, even if you're going to say no. At least give me the invite. So I feel for Kevin in that moment. I do.
Yeah. And I mean, it's again, though, like Janelle. That's like, you've played 4 times. A basic Stop tenet talking. Of Big Brother is that you cannot say no to alliances. You don't have to be loyal to Cody. You just have to say yes and then work from there. Like, that's why?
4 times. Like you said, 4 times, more than any other player of Big Brother ever. You always, I mean, always say yes. Someone who we will not name once said you can bounce checks in this house. That is still a fact. That is still a thing you can very much do. Just say yes to everything and then do whatever you really want anyway. Just be sly about it. Be quiet about it. And then I'm also a proponent of stop giving all your info to people, especially when it's someone you've not really had good ties with this game. Come on, stop.
Yeah. Cody's going to talk with Danny and Nicole. This is after Ian leaves again. Cody wonders who the two votes were. He's like, who are the two votes for Nicole? And they're like, Kevin and maybe Kaser? Danny says, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Let's not get caught up in this. And Cody's like, I just thought like maybe someone was doing something funny, but yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This Sankey vote doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Nobody cares.
No, I mean, it was one vote. It wasn't two votes. So automatically it's a lot harder for them to be like, well, it was Kaser and Janelle. And now that the fact that there's two very clear targets, this is not going to be that big of a deal. And I think a lot of them smartly know that we shouldn't be making this a bigger deal than it needs to be because it's an easy week. Let's not upset the apple cart. Let's not do anything that can cause any issues. Let's just move on from it.
Yeah. So Tyler is going to start talking to people after the HOH room reveal. Tyler, finally, the first HOH to actually do this properly, just has a series of one-on-one conversations with many of the people in the house, which is great. You have an excuse to do it. You can use it to bond with people, make them feel comfortable with you, make them feel heard. And he does all of those things. He talks with Kevin. He says, you're good this week. Don't worry about anything. Kevin appreciates it and all of that. In the meantime, Danny is going to talk to Nicole by herself. She says, look, Nicole, Tyler's got to go. He's too good at these things. And Nicole's like, yeah, no, later, though. And she's like, yeah, like after Janelle and Kaser and Day and Bay go home, then we're taking the shot at Tyler as soon as we have the opportunity. And they're like, OK, yeah, that makes sense.
This is, I just want to emphasize, this is how much of a slam dunk week they believe it is, and it actually is, that they're actively talking about taking out the HOH holder during the HOH holder's reign. Like, this is how much they don't need to worry this week. And like, this is honestly, and I know that I don't know what people's opinions are that, oh, Tyler didn't need to win anything. He was in a good spot. This is the quintessential, this is the Derek Levasseur win of, I'm going to take out Devin. It's what the house wants. It's easy. I get to have an HOH reign, which is good for my alliance to know that, hey, I can get stuff for us. I can deliver what we need. And you take someone out that you're not really going to be pissing anyone off. It's the obvious pick. So I think more than anything, this was the right time for him to win one and then go into the background so no one can think of him throwing stuff again.
What's funny is that Nicole Franzel had this exact conversation about Derek Levasseur in week 3 of Big Brother 16.
Yeah.
So again, history repeats itself. Danny is also going to talk with Kevin. Kevin lets her know about his conversation with Janelle, says that he did not believe Janelle because she denied talking about him in the first week. And he knows that's a lie because Nicole told him. So he also lets her know that because Janelle told him about the Amazing Race thing, he lets Danny know that, yeah, it's the Amazing Race thing that's what she told me. Then Nicole is going to talk to Tyler. And they talk about taking out Janelle because, look, America votes on things. This happened in Tyler's season. America voted to give people powers. That was only two seasons ago. They would be surprised if on an all-star season there wasn't some sort of America votes to give powers thing. So if there was any reason to not get rid of Janelle now, that's a reason to get rid of Janelle now, because she's going to win any kind of power if she stays long enough. We know that the safety suite is this week, which means it's next week might be America votes on a power. We can't let her survive to next week.
So, listen, from the pair that's being targeted, there's one that I like more. There's one that you like more. It's the one we both like. Hey, dummies, remember the time that Kacer won a house vote, 82% public vote to come back in? 5 million people voted, 82% of the vote. Remember that? Why are you being stupid? I'm okay with you being stupid, but the idea of, hey, Janelle would get the votes and Kacer wouldn't is so naive. And the additional naive is even pretending that Nicole from last season, who was a reigning America's favorite house guest, would have competition for Nicole is also silly. But I do think, Taryn, we need to look at this. Maybe having America's favorite is a curse, because like if a third person goes out that was the reigning America's favorite from their season, we need to look into this as a statistic, because it's not looking good.
America's favorite curse. I mean, James made it to final three.
Yes. Yes.
So that's something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to be fair, Johnny Mack was always the America's favorite in our hearts.
Oh,
and he hasn't even been brought back.
No.
So, yeah. So, if I'm being honest, this is very good reasoning. And as much as I love Kacer, I do think that Janelle is multitudes more likely to win a power than Kacer is, even though I think that with Janelle gone, Kacer will win one. Janelle is even more likely. And if there's also some sort of like battle back that involves America's vote, like what happened with Kacer, then they are hoping that like Keisha or Nicole might be able to give Janelle a run for their money, because they were also fan favorites, but they are not holding out too much hope, because they see the writing on the wall. They know that Janelle, who is Janelle, is also the underdog and that she is the fan favorite and will win any sort of power. But that is actually bad for Janelle because it makes her more of a target.
Yeah, you're more likely to want to get rid of her now, especially because their whole thing is they're worried that next week something will come into position for them to win. So let's get her out now before it's too late. It's kind of the mentality they're going with. And for multiple reasons, I feel like Janelle is the right move for them anyways. So,
Just like, I wish Janelle hadn't played in the first week's competition when she didn't need to.
Yes, I wish it was clarified. That would have been incredible. But, you know, we have to deal with this. What's going to be a mundane and probably of the 3 weeks, this is the most like, very easy to say safety suite's not going to matter all that much. So,
oh yeah. Just cancel the safety suite at this point. It's pointless.
It's moot. We really don't need it.
Tyler and Christmas are going to talk. And she says, Janelle, right? I have to, it's an easy week. She's been saying my name this whole time. I have to. So they then go on to name their alliance. Finally, the two of them, they call themselves the Carolinas. Now, Tyler briefly was like, wait a minute, like North or South? North and South. North. What if we named ourselves North and South? North and South are the Carolinas. And I was like, oh my God, If he has like coast to coast and north and south, this guy, he's got a subtle sense of humor. Maybe not that subtle, subtle to Christmas at least. But Christmas preferred the Carolinas, so they're sticking with the Carolinas.
Yeah, well, like he also tried last week to jokingly, but he tried to get six levels become a thing. So I like the idea that he likes to parody himself. I'm a fan of that. I enjoy that. But
yes.
Yeah. Again, the Carolinas doesn't spark like excitement, but it's fine. It's still that versus Four Prime. Which one do you like better, Taryn? If you have to pick, you have to pick.
Look, I've been pretty rough on Christmas and her enthusiasm for like different like military names. But like, she's come up with some good ones, like 6 degrees, even the incinerators. It's like at least there's something like Tyler is all about like the weird 80s glasses and the weird, you know, if I'm picturing like an image, a mood board for Tyler, it's like very bright colors. You know, it's the Carolinas, you know. He's not about the Renegades or the Brigade or maybe I could see him maybe going with Chilltown, but I think even that is too, it's too cool. It's too blue.
Yeah, no, he's not really all about the none of this, like the artillery or anything like the arsenal, none of that nonsense. Give him like bright, sunny summer motif, fun in the sun names. He's more likely to take those.
Yes. So they talk about the nominations. He says just straight up Kacer and Janelle. Memphis will throw the safety suite. Christmas screws up Memphis and Enzo's names. She goes, we'll give Enzo the safety suite. I was like, yes, I knew this was a thing.
Did you ever think that you would have something in common with Christmas Abbott? Did you?
I mean, we're also both jacked. So
yeah, what, you're both CrossFit queens and kings,
obviously. Sure.
Yeah, easy, very easy.
So they talk about how if one of Janelle or Kacer wins the veto, he'll probably put up like Kevin maybe, or somebody that he doesn't talk to. Easy. Christmas actually is like, yeah, like maybe somebody will volunteer. And I was like, Chris, I don't think anybody you would volunteer.
Yeah.
Christmas is going to continue to work on like Day and Bay and like develop those relationships, which is very good for Tyler. I feel like it's important for Tyler, especially with Danny being anti-Tyler the way that she is. Cody has control of all of those. Cody, Franz will go, Nicole goes to Cody, Danny goes to Cody, Enzo goes to Cody. Like those people are locked in on Cody and will not choose Tyler over Cody under any circumstances, which means that Tyler needs to pull in everyone else. He has David and Christmas, but he needs more than that. I think that Tyler needs to continue to work on Bailey and Devon. I talked about this last night on Twitch while I was watching the episode, but like the problem is for Tyler that Devon can get a little messy sometimes with telling lies and testing people and like throwing information out there. And if he tries to pull her in like in any official capacity, it might screw him up and he might get outed, and that would just benefit Cody. So what I think he needs to do is just continue to work on his relationships with Devon and Bailey, and in particular get Christmas deeply, deeply embedded with them so that he has a source of information and a source of like she's in their ear about him. And I think if he does that enough, then I think that he is in a position to be able to counter Cody and Danny potentially. But this is the game that we're probably going to end up seeing with Kacer and Janelle on their way out.
Yeah, once, and sadly, when these two leave, it ends up becoming, I think the season's going to play out as a Cody versus Tyler, and more so Cody's side versus whatever Tyler ends up making on the other side. I think that's the direction we're going to be headed. And 100%, Because again, this week, I think Tyler made the right choice of winning. It's an easy week to win. He gets a comp under his belt for the resume. That's all good. And then using this power, he can try and bolster some more relationships, knowing he's safe, knowing he's in a position of power, get some stuff going together. That's what Cody did with his first HOH and kind of solidified things that are continuing to pay in dividends for him. So I think Tyler needed that, but also I think Tyler has stronger bonds with Christmas and David than maybe Cody has anywhere else, if we're going to compare the strength of the bonds. So
I just love that. Like, I mean, again, I keep talking about like, you know, history repeats itself. If I haven't made this clear enough on the updates yet, if you don't follow me on Twitter or anything, Christmas is Tyler's Casey 1,000%. This is Tyler. Like, she even, like, she plays the game like Casey. She wins, well, talks like she wins competitions like Casey. And she has this sort of like secret bond with Tyler that nobody knows about and makes bonds with other people. Like, literally, Bailey is looking at Tyler like, I think I can trust him, but I'm not sure. Let me go to Christmas and bond with her and see if Christmas thinks I should trust Tyler. Oh, Christmas does think I should trust Tyler. Like, that's exactly what happened with Bailey and Tyler and Casey in season 20. Down to the fact that they have now named their alliance based on geography. This is Tyler and Casey so much.
Yeah, he's. Honestly, he picked the best person to emulate that exact same pairing with, too. I feel like the closest person to a Casey in this house would be the Christmas, both physically and then the capability of being in a position where people are just going to open up with you socially about anything.
And being a loyal soldier.
Exactly. And like, again, she's the one who brings up volunteering for things. Like, she's more than willing to do anything for Tyler, I think, to a way that no one would do the same thing for Cody to that degree, I don't.
And I could absolutely see Christmas starting a website called the Social Strategy Queen or something, where she talks about inventing social strategy. That's totally a Christmas thing to do as well.
I don't want to dream that right now. I don't want to think about that.
I mean, Christmas winning Big Brother All-Stars, talking about being a master of the social game.
What tattoo would she get to commemorate it? That's what I would like to know.
Hers would be like a gun or something.
Yep. That checks for sure.
With 16 bullets of representing the house guests. All right. No, or maybe it would be a flamethrower. The incinerator.
Flamethrower. Yeah. That could be the case. We could see that.
Yeah. All right. So Cody is gonna join them. Cody talks about how they have been these Janelle and Kayser, they've been saying our names this whole time, pinning everything on the two of us. They made this out, they put this on themselves. I approached them to work with them and they said no. Tyler says they drew it up and now they are sitting in their drawing. What more could we have done? They talk again about Janelle getting a fan power or fan vote battle back. They talk about Janelle is just more dangerous altogether. Cody now agrees with this take. I think he saw her in that competition. He saw how close she got and he's like, all right, they're right. Janelle is more dangerous. We'll take out Janelle first. But then we cannot forget Kayser.
Yeah, the added reminder. Yeah, so and the other thing with this HOH is that Janelle getting closest to Tyler is the perfect kind of results-based thinking that can fortify Tyler winning as a good thing for him. It's like, look, I saved us. Janelle nearly won the thing. Like, that would have been a problem. I'm very curious because I believe that Cody will put up Kayser next week should Janelle go out this week and Cody wins. I'm not sure if everyone else would just do that as well. I know that most likely that's what it's looking like right now. There's so much that can happen in a week, though, that I'm not feeling as strongly about that. There's a reason why the second person of a pair usually goes unforgotten. Mm-hmm. It goes forgotten, not unforgotten. What am I saying?
Well, there'll be 12 players competing in the next HOH, but I do expect it's going to be like an endurance. They're not going to have the safety suite competition for Sunday, which means they need some kind of competition. So unless they introduce another new one, they're probably going to want something like an endurance competition. And if that's the case, then I would normally say Ian, Kevin might have a good chance, but we'd also see Nicole and Danny doing well. But lately, the last endurance competition we saw, Jackson won because it was like all about like being tall and having good arm strength was what mattered in that one. So if they are still going along those lines, then I could see like Memphis or Cody, you know, win that kind of endurance competition. So who knows? But they do have some good odds from a theoretical standpoint with, you know, Kevin, Ian, I don't think would go after Kacer. Kacer himself, Day or Bay, I don't think either of them would go after Kacer. So that's 5 out of 12 at the very least. And then you have the idea that like maybe after a week's time, people are starting to think of other threats. So who knows?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we've talked a couple of times here about history repeating itself. We've talked about narratives. How crazy. I mean, I don't think it's going to be this way, but let me paint a picture for you. Let me give you an imaginary lesson. We walk into the backyard next week and Kacer's ass is on the line. He's in danger. It's looking scary. He might be in a win or go home situation. It's we're all shaking. It's the pressure cooker. The pressure cooker.
No, Puya, stop it. No,
no, he redeems himself, Taryn. He redeems himself.
No, he's not going to. He's going to give it to Cody. He's going to make a deal with Cody. He's going to say, okay, Cody, I trust you. And it's not going to be good, Puya. Don't put this into the universe.
Well, I don't want it to be that way. I'm picturing it in the positive light. But now I'm scared. I take it back. No,
I'm traumatized by season 6, Puya.
having watched that again before we did our... are hypothetically speaking on him, it still sucked to see. It still was a gut punch again. So
just thinking about it is a gut punch.
Yeah.
Kacer, no, stop. Oh man. Let's not also forget the chance that Janelle wins this veto, saves herself. I think here's the problem. I think if Janelle saves herself, I do think that everyone will continue to go after Janelle 100%. I don't think Janelle squeaks by. Yeah.
They'll take her out immediately. Kacer's the only one. And I think that's why from the two of them, I'm more willing to see Janelle go here is because beyond my preference for Kacer, the fact that Kacer will have at least a shot at longevity, whereas they're going to do everything they can to not give Janelle a spot in the jury, for sure. They're not going to stop at anything until she's out.
Yeah. So Danny is going to talk to Nicole, just fill her in on the Amazing Race situation. Nicole's like, yeah, that's what I've been saying. Why did nobody believe me on the internet? Day is going to talk with Bailey and Tyler. They kind of talk with him together at first, but then Bailey's like, oh, I don't want to make it like we're talking to you in a pair, so she leaves. And I was like, he kind of like did. So he fills them in, he fills Day in. He says he's not sure about the replacement, but they'll decide as a group. The Slick Six, they're a thing. He's excited about it.
Good old Slick Six.
Yeah. Tyler also talks to Danny. He says that them and Cody should work very closely together. They should move as one. Because there's a lot of double dipping going on. And if him and Cody stick tight, then they can be good. Now, we know that Tyler does not trust Danny, so this is him trying to keep his enemies close, I believe.
Yeah, and we know that Danny doesn't want Tyler to be around for too long. So she's also trying to just fortify, have direct conversation with him so that this is kind of the evidence she can point at if anything's being thrown at her in an accusatory way of like, have you been saying something? So
yes.
They're both just trying to cover each other's bases, like with one another. Yeah.
They talk about who Tyler would choose to play in the veto if he gets house guest choice. Tyler's like, oh, I hadn't thought about it. She suggests Christmas. And I'm sure he doesn't want to give away his relationship with Christmas, but she also suggests what you should have Christmas do, because she's so enthusiastic about these things. If you get house guest choice, you should tell her to like raise her hand and be like, oh, pick me. And then you can be like, okay, I guess Christmas. And then it can like look like she kind of pressured you into it. You know, he's like, oh, that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it, as long as if he can get to pick Christmas with none of the backlash of, are they really close? Then that's a good spot for him to be in.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, I don't know if it's the right call.
Right. It's
yes, they need to beat Janelle. But if they don't beat Janelle, it's fine.
It's all right.
If Janelle stays, they want Christmas to be able to maintain her cover. But if she stays, it's because she won the veto, which means that Christmas didn't break her cover. So,
right.
It's fine. Yeah. They talk about the Day situation, that Day lied to them both. And Danny kind of admits that, like, yeah, at first I thought you were lying, because you were so defensive, but you're like me, like you get defensive when you're telling the truth. And he was like, yeah, it's like, it was annoying. They're talking about this again. They're kind of like, you know, clearing the air, but Puyah, the vibes, bad vibes. This is an awkward conversation.
Very awkward conversation. I genuinely think, you know, it all goes back for them. The backstory here, it all goes back to the old Twitter.
The tweets.
If Tyler did his homework, he knows the tweets are there. Doesn't matter how they talk to each other. He knows where the truth lies. Danny also has not shied away from speaking her mind about how she doesn't really think that Tyler's for endgame material for her. This just, again, this is very much like lip service to, we're so good, man. We're so good. They lied to us, but we're together. We see through the nonsense. We're going to navigate this together. Where, in fact, I think both of them know you're really good, and I'm not trying to sit at the end with you. So I am going to keep you close, and then I'm going to be the one to take the shot first. Now we'll just have to wait and see who takes that first shot.
Yeah, the tweets are to Danny and Tyler what The Amazing Race is to Janelle and Nicole.
That's right. And I think we're a lot less likely to see a Twitter timeline backstory pop up on the show as opposed to The Amazing Race.
We're not going to get footage of Danny writing the tweets and Tyler getting sent screenshots from fans?
Yeah, well, they'll show us Danny on the couch, kid legs on the coffee table, just like with her phone out, just doing this. And then we'll see Tyler sitting on the computer looking at it like this. Like, they'll have to have a reenactor there for it. So unlikely, but if they had the footage, they'd use it.
My pick would be Sexy Uncle Vito.
Yeah. Sexy Uncle Vito plays both roles. That's how you enhance the momentum on that. Yeah.
Yes. He can also reenact The Amazing Race for us.
Buff Uncle
He can Vito. Use Rachel's extensions.
Mm-hmm. This is true. I have a feeling, I have a gut feeling that Sexy Uncle Vito also does a mean Nicole impersonation. So he's got that down as well.
Well, I'm just picturing the Rachel. You Turners grab a life vest, Nicole. We got it. All right. So Tyler's also going to talk with Ian. He tells him he's good. And Ian is kind of just like, cool. Great talk. But Tyler's like, hey, man, stick around. You don't need to leave. Come sit on the bed with me. And I was like, Ian, don't enter this viper's nest. Don't do it. He's going to Dan you.
He's full on seducing Ian into a false sense of security. And recruiting Ian, or I think trying to at least have Ian be on his good side. But it's a seduction technique in the House of Big Brother that he's very good at.
Sit on the bed
Tyler's
next
very
to me.
Good at.
To be fair, though, I guess I'd rather have Tyler Dan him than Nicole Dan him.
Yes, I'm very okay. If someone's getting Dan, if someone's Danning, I would rather it be Tyler than Nicole, 100%.
So Tyler comes and like, here's the thing too, like, the thing about the Dan Ian relationship is that like, they were fun to watch because they did have a very natural chemistry. Same thing with Tyler and Ian. Like Tyler got him to feel comfortable. They were like lying back in bed together, just like chilling and talking. And like you don't really see Ian like looking that comfortable all that often. So it was a pretty good conversation.
Yeah. And because we know that he wants to have Tyler make it a five prime, I like this relationship. I think it was a good move by Tyler, and we'll see how long it'll take before Ian will inevitably try and make that happen once more.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like this could be a path for Ian. If Ian decided to do a thing with Tyler on the side, nah, Tyler would probably tell them about it. Ian's just in a bad spot. All right. Tyler's going to talk with David and Enzo. They say that safety suite, what do we do with it? Use it on Enzo. Yeah. Well, people have fun with, like, people want to see Enzo in a costume. David is like, well, but do you want it to be have a punishment, be in a costume and be a have not at the same time? And Enzo is just like, it's my gig. That's my thing, man.
This is literally the best thing that could happen, friends. He gets the safety, which he doesn't really quite need, but it gives him a goofy costume. He talks about how his son would be into it, but his daughter's over it. So at least one of his kids will be into this.
Well, they're humans now.
Yeah, they're humans. They're no longer baby, like 6 months old. And it's one of those things where I think that this just further shows his superior social game in the house. It shows how much people like him. It puts him in a position where if I'm a viewer and I get to pick, I think after Ian, Enzo's the next best person to be in a punishment because he'll play along with it and he'll make it fun. So I'm all here for this. This is a slam dunk decision because it did look like for a second there, the conversation was maybe we save Kevin and like bring Kevin in with the safety, kind of how Christmas did that with Ian. But the worry was, well, in case someone wins the veto, Kevin's a pretty like pawn to throw up there. So let's not do that.
Yeah, he actually said Kevin or Ian he would prefer or not save just in case. So Bailey is going to go and talk to Tyler as well. They have Tyler says he feels good about the six. He feels like they can get far together, that he would rather have Janelle go home. But he's like, he's disappointed about it. It's like, it's so like they watched our season, right? Like they know that I was loyal to my group. Like I wanted to work with them so bad. I love these two people. Like if Kaser had come to me in the first few days to work together, I would have been so pumped. And like we know this is true because Tyler tried multiple times. He talked with Kaser a few times. Tyler said to Kaser, I would love to work with you. I think we both have similar outlooks on the game. I think we're both like good people, and you know, we're loyal and we stick to our people. And like, hey, I would love to work with you. And then Kaser would like run to Janelle and be like, Tyler and Cody are too schemey. We're against them. And it was like, I know, like it's again, it's like, guys, if you had just done the thing.
Yeah. I think that when we look back at this season, when we talk about these two in the future, Janelle and Kaser, it all comes back to the first week where they were given invites. People came to their bank and were willing to invest some social capital in them. They held off on it, didn't do it, and then decided to instead spend anything they had in the bank on Keisha staying without taking any of the other things in. And by that point, everyone else had made their like bonds and they fell into the natural position that they always fall into, which is on the outside looking in as the beloved underdogs that they truly are. And it's sad because we didn't think this would happen this season. We felt better about it, but they kind of like fell into exactly where they were 14 years ago. And it's disheartening, but honestly, as a fan of both, I can safely say that they kind of brought this onto themselves. So,
yeah. And it's so upsetting too. It's like, cause like, man, if Kaser had taken up, and I think I talked about this on the, update, like Kaser should jump on this. Like this is an opportunity. And this whole game would be very different in terms of, you know, who's in the ins and who's in the outs, or at least. But man, it would be much more interesting to see Kaser and Tyler be working together with Janelle there. But oh, yeah. Not the case. So he's talking to Bailey, says she's hoping the things that they're saying, they're real, that like nobody's laughing behind her back. And he's like, absolutely not. That I'd be setting myself up for a lifetime of abuse on the internet if I was doing that. I promise you, I am genuine with you. I do not want to screw you over in any way.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting up some faves, so maybe that abuse will come through in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, like, get ready for a world of hurt. But I mean, this was obviously, like, he has no reason not to do this, so there shouldn't be any worry.
And I mean, again, talk about history repeating itself. You've got a player considered to be very good, starting to work on his relationship with Ian and pull him in, while Ian makes an alliance with people who are already in an alliance, and doesn't have a great relationship with Janelle and kind of wants to see Janelle go home. This is Victor the 14th.
It's back to front. Literally. It's just the only difference being the name of the alliance. Otherwise, everything else is kind of samey.
Yeah. So we saw Dan go through targeting Janelle. It was not pretty for him. Mm-mm. He did survive it, though. Ken Tyler.
We'll see. My gut says yes, but we'll see.
We'll see. They also talk about, Tyler says, look, people, like, they're acting like people are roped up. That they're in these groups and that they will be in these groups forever. But we should be open to like remixing and not being stuck on sides. Don't think that this game is not fluid. And I think what he's trying to get across to Bailey in this moment is like, if you see me as being with Cody, like, don't think that I am stuck with Cody. Like, we have a relationship too, because this is me like maybe reading into it a little too much, because this is what I think Tyler should be doing, but like, you know, don't lump me in, don't make the same mistake that Janelle and Kaser made and come after me thinking I'm stuck with Cody, because if you approach me instead, I might be open to what you have to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm also a subscriber of, I think he's trying to break that fall early of, in case there's paranoia rummaging through her head, in case she thinks that he is like stuck with glue with the people that he's being seen talking to. Tyler wants it to be known. That doesn't mean anything. I'm very much willing and will be going in back and forth, and I'm going to be fluid. It's kind of the conversation that we actually saw the conversation last night with David, the way David fumbled that entire answering. I think this is him opening that door up so that that thought doesn't even come to Bailey's head, because he's preemptively made it known that it doesn't matter what you see. If we talk, you'll know we're fine and I can prove it.
Mm-hmm. So Tyler's then going to end the night talking to Christmas, and he says, I can't tell if they fully trust me. Because here's the thing. I don't think she does. And I think he sees that she doesn't, but he wants her to, but he sees that she doesn't. And so he's like talking to Christmas, trying to get like Christmas to be like, what do you think? Because like in those, in these conversations with Bailey, she keeps saying like, I just don't want you to screw me over again. Like, I just don't want, I hope you're not laughing at me behind my back. And like, you don't say those things if you fully trust the other person. And he even was like, hopefully we can work together. And she was like, I'm not going to breathe until the veto is done this week. Like he might backdoor her this week. Right. He's like, no, like it'll be proven to you. And I think there's a lot of suspicion that she's openly saying that she's not going to feel comfortable until she knows that he won't backdoor her this week.
Yeah. And that method of communication does not in any way spark confidence, or shouldn't spark confidence with the person you're talking to. If someone's talking to me like that, I'm like, I will leave that conversation and be like, doesn't matter what I said, she doesn't fully trust me. And that sucks, because I feel like I'd be working with her. But that's something you will carry moving forward, of the fact that she's saying these things. I don't care how paranoid you are. That means that you and I are not on the same page completely. And that means I might have to look elsewhere or look at where you're going, because you're definitely looking at other places, other avenues to be working with. And they're not with me as number one choice.
Mm-hmm. So though he talks to Christmas, Christmas says, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's entirely squashed, but I do think it mostly is, which I do think is true. I think that Bailey does feel good with Tyler. We see her talk about Tyler in a positive way to, like, honestly, she talks. This is the problem, I think, is that Bailey speaks very highly of Tyler to everyone except Tyler. Like, she expresses the most amount of doubt about Tyler to Tyler. And to everyone else, she's almost always, like, very positive. She's worried that he's in an alliance with Cody and that he's working with the guys, especially now that David has said so. But beyond that, she's not like, oh, he's a backstabber, or anything like that. So I wish that she would just, but again, like, it's a different situation, because I think from her perspective, she's just trying to be open because Bailey cares about the relationship. I think they both care about the relationship,
yeah. But
I think similar to what happened last time and similar to, like, this dynamic that they have in their relationship is that Bailey puts, like, friendships and relationships first, which means even if it harms her game to tell Tyler that she's still a little bit worried, she's going to, because she's not going to pretend anything to Tyler, because that's messing with the, you know, that's not genuine to their relationship. Whereas Tyler, I think, sees it as, I genuinely am friends with you and care about you, but I am not going to let you know that I'm worried about you, because in the game, that's bad for me. I think that they're both in similar places, that they have different methods of vocalizing it, and one is better for your game than the other.
And I think that, you know, I've definitely had different friendships, relationships before, where people communicate differently. There are people out there who will always remind you of your wrongdoing in some subtle way so that you never forget it. So that in their mind, the minute I stop reminding you that, hey, you did wrong by me, I need you to constantly remember me saying it verbally so that I know you're not going to look me in the eyes and do it again. So it's like a forgive and forget is one thing, but then the other thing is I can't stop talking about it, because then maybe you will forget about it and maybe you will think everything's fine, we've reset and I can do it again. I think it's definitely clear that she's friends with him, they're close. She doesn't want to lie to him about it. I agree with all of that. I still think there is also a part of her that does not want to go through this again, does not want to go through another season, another new opportunity again, only to get stabbed by the same person that did it last time. And by stabbed, I mean bested. Doesn't want that.
Well, and she's dealing with a lot of trauma, like because it wasn't even just that, you know, that she was betrayed by Tyler, but she also went through something traumatic in that house.
Oh, yeah.
And like there's a lot of like nuance and depth in this relationship and how Bailey is handling the game and the situation. And so like it's definitely you know, I think a difficult sort of thing to navigate for both of them. But you know, particularly for Bailey. So We'll see where it goes. Tyler's talking to Christmas. Christmas says, I don't think it's entirely squashed, but it mostly is. And that that Bailey doesn't really say anything bad about Tyler, other than the fact that she thinks that he's working with the guys. But here's the thing. This is the thing. Nobody knows that you and I are together. Yeah, this is great. And it really is. This is like the most valuable relationship Tyler has in the entire house by far. And the fact that Christmas is embedded with Bailey and Davon and with Janelle and Kacer to a degree, super valuable for Tyler, super valuable for Christmas. He has the most amount of like information, even though he doesn't have the most amount of power.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just able to gather the blueprint without having all the agency, which is I think is ideally probably the best position you want to be in, because it gives you more options and avenues you can go to without having to like negate a deal or ignore someone or break a deal or any of that nonsense. And can I just say that as a Christmas roaster, I don't know. As someone who wasn't into Christmas.
A Christmas roast?
Yeah. As a Christmas roaster. I do want to say that I think Christmas is playing a pretty decent game. More than what I had expected. I feel like the bar was already very low, Taryn. But it's a little bit better, at least. I mean, it's not exactly the hardest game to do when you're a person like Christmas. But the fact that she's able to gather as much information as she can and enough people talk in front of her, I think that's a pretty cool fact about her now. That's cool.
Yeah. So we'll see. I also want to quickly amend. I think Cody has the most amount of information right now. Tyler has the potential to get the most amount of information. Tyler shares all of his information with Cody, as does Christmas for the most part. Most of their information, at least. So I think Cody is on top of the information more so than anyone else in the house at the moment. But Tyler has the potential to do better because of what he's got with Christmas. And Tyler, Cody also has the most power in the house right now. But it might not always be the case because Tyler is nipping at his heels. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's pretty much the day. Puya, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No. Honestly, all eyes on the inevitable. We're going to see. I mean, there's no other way about it because none of them are going to get safety from the safety suite. We're going to see them two go on the block. Whoever wins veto, if one of them does, the other's going. It's going to be relatively straightforward, but let's focus on, obviously the sadness is going to be there, but I don't want us to focus on that because we're going to go through that regardless. Let's focus on the other players, what they're going to do, who's going to make the chess move next, who's going to make the next deal, who's going to come out of this week with more agency. Because I think this is going to be a big week for, well, this is an easy solution. Let's not worry about who's going home now. Let's try and focus on the next step. I think a lot of people are going to try and play the next step. So let's watch what they're doing. And then let's be sad together about the divorce of Janelle and Kacer.
Yes. So this is what you should expect. Kacer and Janelle on the block. The safety suite will not matter, but Enzo is likely to be saved regardless of the outcome. Memphis should be throwing it. If the veto is won by either Kacer or Janelle, then the other one will likely go home with probably Kevin on the block to replace them. Janelle will be the target unless she wins that veto. And I don't expect anything to majorly change from that. With Tyler at the helm, keeping everything calm, we'll probably have a calm week. But who knows?
Who knows? I mean, I would love nothing more than to come here next week and be like, well, I was wrong. We talked about it, but it wasn't the result we thought. I'd be very happy with that. You know I would.
Yeah.
But we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
All right. That's what we have for you for today. You can find me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaryn or twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Puya, where can people find you?
Twitter at Puyaism, twitch.tv/Puyaism as well. And if you would like to hear me talk about stuff that isn't Big Brother, you can go and check out the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up podcast.
Yes. You can tune in today. We talked with Nicole Anthony. In her exit interview, asked her some questions about Janelle and Kacer and some other things. Make sure you check that out. We will also be talking to Erica Landon from Big Brother 4 and the original All-Stars later today. So make sure you check that out as well. And of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And tomorrow night, the Legacy Watch Roundtable will be talking about everything that's been going on the feeds for the week till then, and everything else, how the game has affected each of these players' legacies so far. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.